Talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
You betcha. Guy James here with you this afternoon. Thanks for joining us. I'm in a terrific mood today. I want you to know that right now. I'm in a terrific mood. I hope you are too. We're bringing you this program, The Guy James Show, here on the Head On Radio Network, live from the beautiful sandy beaches and blue waters of Southwest Florida, Naples, Fort Myers area. And, of course, we're streaming it around the country, around the world. Thanks to everybody for all your email and so forth. I really, really enjoy hearing from you. And why am I in such a good mood today? Why, I'll bet for the same reason you're in a great mood. You are all in a fantastic mood, aren't you, today, huh? The Fed just lowered the prime rate by another quarter of a point down to 2%, and now I know that the credit card rates is going to go down, my mortgage rate's going to go down, you know, your car payments, everything's going to go down. I'm so damn happy about that. You know, they've cut the interest rate 7 times now, and it's benefiting all you and I tremendously by having them lower our interest rates on everything. Isn't it great? Okay. The interest rates aren't going down for you and I. Oh, the credit cards are, companies are raising their fees. Well, I didn't know. I just figured. Oh, and here's a story where MasterCard profits have doubled in the past few months. Well, I guess I'm not so happy after all. I thought for sure that when Ben Bernanke lowered the rate again that you know, the credit card rates would go down, and the mortgage company would send you a nice letter saying, "Dear sir, our, you know, the rates are lower, and we've decided to lower your interest rate and lower your house payment." I guess they're not going to do that. Well, now I'm pissed. I'm not in a good mood at all. I heard that, and but we do have McCain and Hillary Clinton wanting to drop the federal tax on gasoline for the summer, 18.4 cents a gallon, and I figured that up, $70.56, save me about $1.38 a week, according to what I drive. I don't drive much. Believe me, I don't drive much at all. Back and forth to the studio, which isn't very far, and that's about it. The old car is sitting in the garage most of the time. In fact, it goes, you know, if a bicycle will do, it do. His car sometimes sits for 3 or 4 days. So, you know, Hillary and McCain, they want to save us that buck, save me that $1.38. I realize it's more for some of you that commute a great distance. And it will be somewhat significant to folks who drive a long, long way, but not really. It is a campaign gimmick, and come on, really. And as they say, the infrastructure in the country, the bridges, the roads, and so forth, it depends upon that gas tax. And if you want roads like they've got in rural North Dakota every place, why, then let's not pay any more road tax, any more gas tax. If you want roads like they've got down in 5 miles out of Sawyersville, Kentucky, out in the country, if you want roads like that all over the country, why... And here in Florida, too. We've got some roads like that here in Florida, I must say. So, I think it's a gimmick. I think it's a little silly attempt to try and buy a few votes. I see Barack Obama's not going along with it, and good for him. I'm glad of that. I couldn't let the day go by. I wrote myself a little note. Yes, I'm reduced to that, writing myself notes. I've reached that point. You know who Rod Parsley is? He's the pastor of the what's it called? I didn't write that down. I think it's World Harvest Church in Columbus, Ohio. Great big mega church now. When I lived up in that neck of the woods, he was just getting started, and he was just getting to start to be a big church. And he's a really big mouth preacher. Great big booming voice that likes to get up and act, and he's quite something. He puts on quite a performance. You can catch him in the morning here on TV, probably in an area where a lot of you live. He's on in the morning doing his show, his little operettas that he does every morning. But I knew it would come to this sooner or later. And of course, Rod Parsley, a big time Republican, he campaigned very hard for Blackwell for governor of Ohio. He's a big McCain supporter. McCain has his blessing. And it's come to this finally that Rod Parsley this morning, I saw him on, and shame on me, but I like to watch a little bit of that for entertainment because I do get a big laugh out of some of these TV evangelists. Really, really. So, some of you like to watch Archie Bunker reruns and like that. I like to watch some of these TV evangelists. I do. Call it sacrilegious. No, it's not sacrilegious because those people, in my opinion, aren't religious at all. They don't represent the Christ or God or anything else. They represent themselves. Let's tell it like it is. The Benny Hinn's of the world, the Joyce Myers of the world, the Hagees of the world. They're in it for themselves. Come on. Sorry to disillusion some of you, but that's why they're here. I don't know why I got started on this, but this Rod Parsley this morning, I was thinking a while back, you know, they've tried everything. They sell holy water that I'm sure they run out of the bathtub. Leroy Jenkins does that. One guy's selling wafers now that he calls manna. I can't remember what his name is. Just too many of these guys. So, you know, they've all got a hook. Send us in $10 and we'll send you this cracker. and of course, we'll never bother you again, except every other day. We'll send you a letter begging for more money for our mission that, you know, we send 2 cents out of every dollar to. You know how that goes. But I was thinking, you know, these guys ought to team up. What's one of the biggest scams in the United States? One of the biggest scams that you can think of. One that's probably rolled in more dough than anything else. Why, of course, it's the diet business. Diet fads. Diets. You see it on the magazines when you go to the supermarket. You see it on TV advertising, take this magic pill, you lose 37 pounds tonight while you sleep. Wake up, your skin will be tight, you'll be 20 years younger. You know, all those things. You see those ads all over the place. Well, Reverend Rod Parsley has got a guy on his program now. It's the holy way to diet. Yes, yes. If you diet the way we tell you to diet, why, your family will be holy and healthy. Yes, verily I say unto you, if you buy my diet plan, you can get these CDs for a $304 value for only $69.95, and you will be slim and trim and saved by the Lord if you only send me in $69.95. To Reverend Rod Parsley. Yes, the TV evangelists have teamed up with the diet people. Oh, man. And with this, you get the exercise CDs, you get the book. Yeah, it's a hardcover book, by the way. A $304 value is a 6-CD set on how to eat and how to pray and how to exercise the holy way. Now, I looked and looked and looked in the Bible to try and find some place where they talked about being saved because you were thin. I tried to find that, and so far, I haven't. Praise Jesus. I have not found it yet. But I will, because Pastor Parsley says that we'll all be saved and we'll be healthy and trim and slim and eating according to the direction of the Lord. If you just send in $69.95, it is, brothers and sisters, I say unto you, it is a $304 value today, but today and today only, send it in maybe tomorrow too, only $69.95. Well, I don't have to tell you, I was having what my mother would call a conniption when I was watching this, because I thought they've finally done it. They have finally done it. Man, anyway, I'm in a rare mood today. I really am. Rod Parsley, the Reverend Rod Parsley. I don't know. I just, we're getting a call from, we're getting a call here from that area code, and I have a thing that identifies area codes here. It's Rod Parsley's area code. Yes, sir. It is. maybe it's Rod. All right. Whoops. The call went away. Call back. Whoever it was, call back. Because it only gives the area code, doesn't give your phone number. So we don't have one of those neat little gizmos, but I do know where the area code is when people call. Doggone, maybe that was the Reverend Rod himself. It was a 614 area, and that's where the Reverend Rod lives, in the 614 area in the Columbus, Ohio area. Well, anyway, enough about Reverend Rod, I guess. Have you seen? Well, before I finish that, I was going on about the Fed being lowered down to 2%, another quarter of a point today. You know, the Fed, by lowering the rate again, is going to lower the value of the dollar. And it's going to make gasoline more expensive, because part of the problem we got with the price of gas right now is the value of the dollar against the euro and other currencies around the world. So, Who's benefiting from this lower Fed rate? Tell me. Oh, I know. We'll hear that explanation. Why, sooner or later, it'll benefit all of you. Yes, yes, indeed. Hey, let's go to the phone. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Yeah. I want to talk to you.
Well, go right ahead, sir.
Ron here from Columbus, Ohio.
Oh, well.
Yeah, you be talking about my man.
Oh, Reverend Reverend Parsley?
Yeah.
Well, I wasn't cutting him down or anything. I just was mentioning the fact that he's now selling dietary supplements and CDs and everything. Only $69.95, by the way. So
I tried that I lost 20 pounds in 20 days.
Oh.
The problem was about a month later I gained 50 pounds in 50 days. So I don't think he used to be my man.
Uh-huh.
But he's no longer my man.
Well, I wouldn't think.
No.
Did you get the sale price of $69.95, or did you have to pay the whole $304?
Well, I don't want to talk about that.
Well, all right. I won't embarrass you. Oh yeah, Reverend Parsley. He's one of my favorite people, actually.
He does a lot of good work. He does a lot of good work. He got a lot of good people. The only thing I don't like about him is he got a lot of gold hanging around his arms and his neck and so forth. I don't think that's right.
Well, you can't be you can't go around having your flock think that you're poor. If your flock thought you were poor, you know, what do we... Oh, the people on the chat room are wanting me to ask you, who's your man now? Say, he used to be your man, but he's not anymore. Who's your man now? Are you into Benny Hinn or any of those people?
No, I just kind of signed off. I tell you, I don't look at that stuff anymore. Since I gained all that weight back, I kind of lost all faith in that man.
Well, ye of little faith, maybe you just didn't believe enough, because a lot of times you got to, if you go to one of these healing sessions of Reverend Parsley or Benny Hinn or something like that, and if you don't believe strong enough, like as they always say, I mean, you go in there and you got a broken arm and it's not healed, why, usually they tell you, you just don't have enough faith, and maybe that was your problem. Maybe you didn't have enough faith in this diet.
Well, I bought some of that water that Leroy Jenkins guy was selling up there up Delaware.
Uh-huh.
And that was bad. That was bad. The bad part was I thought it was doing me some good, and then it come out in the paper said there's bacteria in it.
Oh.
And that really blowed me away. Leroy, bad boy. He's really bad boy. He's one of the baddest bad boys I know.
Well, I heard he moved out to Phoenix now. I'm not sure, but I think that's where he's setting up his headquarters. He kind of goes. He was in the Columbus area. What do you say? Called Delaware, Ohio. He was there for quite a long time, though, at the Holy Hill Cathedral.
Yeah, he had a well up there on that property. He drawed that water out of, and they ended up finding out it was contaminated. Isn't that a shame?
Yeah, it really is. I have to tell you, my brother and I, once upon a time when I lived in Ohio, before Route 23 went around Delaware, Ohio, you had to drive through it in order to get to Columbus. And so my brother and I are driving down through there, and we see a bunch of commotion going on back at the Holy Hill Cathedral. You got that old Southern-style mansion that's in disrepair sitting there. So we drove through the gates and drove back to the back of the property, and they were having a big ceremony. And Leroy was leading this ceremony, and what they were doing, this was in the summertime, well, it was in fall, actually, in early September, they were planting a palm tree. And when they were done praying over this palm tree and everything, I said to Reverend Leroy Jenkins, I said, Reverend, I don't want to, I don't want to say anything, but this is Delaware, Ohio, and you're planting a palm tree, and it's likely to freeze out here before. No, mister, you don't have any faith. We've prayed over this tree, and this tree will survive the winter here. Well, I don't have to tell you that along about the end of December, that was one dead palm tree. So old Leroy, he didn't pray hard enough, evidently.
No, he's just a bad boy, that's all. He's just a bad boy. Another thing I want to talk about.
Yeah.
Credit cards.
Mm-hmm.
Most shameful thing I ever got into. I got a big old balance on it, and then I missed the payment, and they was charging me. I wasn't paying any interest at all for about 6 months. And then they started charging me interest, and I got in a little trouble. I missed the payment. And they shot that thing out interest up to like 28%, like 28%, something like that.
Ooh.
And I said, well, I can't pay that. I called in, and this woman said, well, if you think that's bad and you missed another payment, we're going to turn you over to the credit bureau. And they did.
Huh.
And make a long story short, I told them to put that credit card up there where the sun don't shine.
Really?
And they tried to do something about it, but they never got it done. So I guess I don't hear from them no more. No more. I don't hear no more from them. So I just tell people, you know, if they do that to you, well, you just quit paying on it. Just forget it.
Huh. Well, that sounds like probably a good idea. Probably give them a little taste of their own medicine.
Well, I think if 50% of the people would do that when they pop that interest rate up there like that, I think they'd learn something. They evidently learned something from me, 'cause I don't hear from them anymore.
Yeah.
So they're just $10,000 in the hole.
Oh man. Well, I did see yesterday where MasterCard, I was commenting earlier in the program, MasterCard announced that they doubled their profits from this time last year. They're really sticking it to people. And, people are using credit cards more and more. I see MasterCard and all the credit cards now, they're out really lobbying hard to the utility companies, and also everybody can pay all their bills with their credit cards, and then they'll make even more money.
Well, I just happy to report that I didn't pay that $10,000 and I never will. That's about all I got to say, guy. Good talking to you and good listening to you.
Well, thanks for calling. I appreciate hearing from you.
Oh, yeah. Bye.
Bye now. Well, I knew when that call came in, that was from good old Columbus, Ohio, 614 area. So there's a story for you. I think that guy's called before. I'm pretty sure I've talked to him a year or so ago. Did he give his name? I'm not sure if he... I can't remember if he gave his name. Doggone it. I usually write down if someone calls and I didn't. Well, anyway, we're gonna pause for a quick break, I think, and we'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
President Bush has talked about our staying in Iraq for 50 years,
maybe 100. That'd be fine with me.
President Bush has talked about our staying in Iraq for 50 years.
Maybe 100.
If all he offers is more of the same, is John McCain the right choice for America's future? The Democratic National Committee is responsible for the content of this advertisement.
town away, away.
Hey, oh, mama, mama, in the night. Hey, oh, mama, mama, hey.
Up in the northern lights.
Hey, mama, mama.
Sat on the stony ground. He took a cigarette out, and everyone else came down to listen.
Yes, I'm still in a good mood today. Ben Bernanke or not, Wall Street or not, I'm still in a good mood today. I really am. I don't know why. I'm a little bit, and I hate to admit this. No, I don't hate to admit it. I like music, and I like amateur music, although they're getting a little bit away from that. And so I watched American Idol last night. Does anybody agree with me? Do any of you see that? That kid with the dreadlocks, in my opinion, yes, he's a nice-looking young man and all that, and I'm sure all the young girls go gaga over him. And evidently that's his group because they've kept him in there. But to my way of thinking, that boy doesn't have any talent compared to the rest of them on that show. That's just my humble opinion. If that rocker David Cook doesn't win that, I'll be shocked. And the young boy, David Arguelleta, whatever his name is, he might be right there at the top, too. But my oh my, that kid at the dreadlocks, he should have been blown out of there last week, and now he's back. So, well, anyway, I've done it. I've talked about American Idol on the show. I did want to mention the latest poll coming out now. If you are interested in electoral vote politics, which we have to be, right now, if you took a poll of all the states and you put Hillary Clinton up against John McCain right now, she wins 291 to 247. She wins. If you put Barack Obama up against McCain, McCain beats him 269 to 243. And in a tie in 26 electoral votes, which would make it 269 to 269. Now, wouldn't that be interesting once again? I think we know what would happen there. We've already found out what would happen there. God help us if another Supreme Court justice retires or dies before the end of this Bush term. That's all I got to say. We'll be left with the stain of the Bush administration for 30 years. And wouldn't that be something? The worst president ever to leave a mark like that on this country. Oh, my God. The thought of that. I mean, it's close enough right now where a lot of decisions are going the wrong way. And one more would just ensure that every vote would go the way of the right-wingers. And whether they're, as we spoke yesterday with our guest yesterday, with Professor Lichtman, yes, this conservative, Ronald Reagan conservative movement is in its death throes, but that would leave them a chance to get even for a few years, that's for certain. They'd still have that influence, and that's the most important reason I can think of to elect a Democratic president right now. I don't care if you're a Republican, Democrat, Libertarian, or what you are, totally apolitical. Think about the Supreme Court. And think about how that might affect your lives. Everybody, whether they want to admit it or not, and it does have the Supreme Court has an effect on your lives. Absolutely, for certain, it does. So, 866-546-5254 if you'd like to join the program, and we would love to talk to you today. 866-546-5254. I see... the Defense Department, in their infinite wisdom, sending another aircraft carrier to the Persian Gulf. Now, we already have one there. We already have one there with more than enough firepower to destroy any enemy in that area. This is not a replacement. This is in addition to. So we now have two aircraft carriers in the Persian Gulf, and you know why they're there. They are there to send a message to the state of Iran. That's why they're there. They're there to rattle the U.S. sabers and put the fear of Allah in Iran. I don't think it will put the fear into them. If one didn't, two's not going to. What makes the difference if you've got one aircraft carrier or two? You can only drop so many bombs. You can only destroy too much infrastructure, or so much infrastructure, so much nuclear plants. Will we do that? Will Bush do that before he gets out of office? Would he have the cojones to go ahead and start another war with a country with which war would not be pretty? Not that the two we're in right now are pretty, but militarily we'd be different. You know, we'd be dealing with a whole different ballgame if we attack Iran. And I don't think anybody in this country who is sane would want that to happen. Certainly not. And no one that's sane would want that to happen in this country. And of course, I'm not claiming that some of our leaders are exactly sane. I'm not sure they are. But some of the decisions they have made certainly do make you wonder if they're sane or not. Hillary Clinton is going on an interview with Bill O'Reilly. And I don't know, that's got a look of some sort of desperation to it to me. It really does. What on earth? Why on earth would Hillary Clinton go on with Bill O'Reilly? I mean, we had Barack Obama go on with Fox, and this troubles me. This troubles me a great deal. Why would you want to lend legitimacy and credence to the Fox network? Why would you do that? This is a network that preaches anti-democratic politics 24/7 in the most vile hatred of ways. Your Hannity, your O'Reilly, they do it all day, every day. They preach against Democrats. and you would give them some ratings by going on their programs, why would you do that? Terry McAuliffe did it recently. This lends itself to the premise, and it's not just a premise, it's true, that this is a little community in Washington, D.C. This is a small community of bureaucrats, and Barack Obama is not an outsider. He's an inside the Beltway guy now. So is Hillary. So is McCain. So are all these pundits. It's a game. It's just a game. We see it with the utmost of importance involved, and they see it as a damn game. And if they can get a little FaceTime on Fox, they're going to do it. And I think it's wrong. I think it's completely, utterly wrong for Obama and Hillary Clinton to go on the Fox Network, and Terry McAuliffe, all of them. I think they should boycott the Fox Network. I don't think any serious Democrat should ever appear on the Fox Network. And just tell them, no, hell no, we're not going to be on your network. After what you've said about us, why should we do that? And make no mistake, does Hillary Clinton think that she'll sway Bill O'Reilly? Does Hillary Clinton think she'll sway any of O'Reilly's audience? You know the answer to that. The answer is no, hell no, she won't sway any of those people. It'll be a spectacle. It'll be something that O'Reilly will make sound bites out of and knock her over her political head with him for a long time. So, I'm disappointed in that. I was disappointed that Obama would do it. I'm disappointed that she does it. I think it's just absolutely wrong. Absolutely wrong. And I don't know what she's going to gain by that. You know, people are saying, well, they want her to be the candidate. If they want her to be the candidate, she's showing a 50-41 edge over him right now, over McCain. I don't think they do want her to be the candidate. I mean, from my point of view, I think they'd be in serious trouble. The polls right now show them beating Obama. They show Hillary beating McCain quite handily. Well, I've gotten way off where I was going to start this program today. I got started by talking about Rod Parsley. I don't know where that came from. I just happened to write that down in my notes today, Rod Parsley, and I go off on this big toot about Rod Parsley. What I wanted to talk about a little bit more today, I started talking about a little bit yesterday, is Bush's pathetic speech, and yes, we did talk about it yesterday, and some of the things he said, and about how he trying to put the blame for this war and the economic mess and everything else on the Democrats. That's his job. Between now and the time that he leaves office, he's going to try and blame everything there is on the Democrats. And the press will help him do it. Make no mistake. They will help him do it. And he mentioned on there yesterday about the oil companies that the Democrats, you know, they won't, we need more refineries. And he made it sound like, once again, that it's the Democrats' fault that there are no refineries, no new refineries in this country. You and I both know that if they wanted to build new refineries in this country, they would get it done. If they wanted to build a new refinery, if they wanted to knock down the Statue of Liberty and put a new refinery there and on Ellis Island, they would do it. If they wanted to, they could put a refinery any place they wanted to. The oil companies are so powerful, they could talk the pay off enough politicians to get one put on the mall in Washington if they wanted to. I think we all know that, don't we? We certainly do. Refining capacity in this country has gone down. They're only running at like 85%. They could run it more. They don't want to run it more. It's got nothing to do with environmentalists not wanting to let them build new refineries. It's got nothing to do with that anymore. In fact, When the top executives of the country's five largest oil companies earlier this month were asked at a House hearing whether they wanted to build a new refinery, every one of them said no. And I think you know why. Why should they? We're over at the phones. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hi, Guy. It's Kevin from Brooklyn.
Hi, Kevin.
Yeah, I just want to point out, you know, forgive me if I deviate from the speech from yesterday, but the fact of the matter is, anyhow we attack Iran, this country is going to experience trouble like they never knew before. It's going to make 9/11 look like a Sunday picnic.
I think you're exactly right, Kevin. I couldn't agree more.
I tell you, these people are not going to fight our armed forces. They're going to bring the fight to every public transportation hub in every major city. They're going to bring it to the highways and the bridges and tunnels and every major shopping center like Mall of America, Disney World, and the Super Bowl. That's where the fight is going to occur.
I agree. I think you're right. I think there would absolutely be hell to pay.
And it's not, you know, the military, you know, this is just, and think about it, you know, it is true what the Republicans say, that we've had a rather low casualty rate considering the length of time we've been at war. It's done like that for a reason, just to keep the daily trauma going. But the real trauma is going to happen right here on U.S. soil.
I think you're right. In one attack, there'd be many more casualties than we've lost in this war so far. You're absolutely right, Kevin.
Okay. All people have to look at is, you know, British history pre-World War One, Northern Ireland in Ireland.
Oh, yeah. And how long did that go on? It just stopped, 10 years ago?
Well, I'm talking like the real big time war during World War One. Britain itself was fighting like a forefront war during the First World War because it was fighting Northern Ireland, it was fighting the front in France, and it was fighting in the Middle East.
Well, and our Pentagon thinks we can, evidently they think we can just fight a couple more wars besides the two we're in right now. They certainly give us that opinion, don't they?
And the fact of the matter is, we really gotta. And another thing we got to be really frightened of, you know, I say the oil companies is just a distraction for the regular people, okay? The real threat to our society is these military contractors, okay, that has been in existence for decades, probably even centuries, and now they are globalized and what's going to happen when the juice runs out of the United States? They're going to move on to another country.
Sure.
They're globalized.
Sure. A lot of people aren't aware of it necessarily, but DuPont, the Civil War. Clear back in the Civil War, DuPont was reaping obscene profits from Americans killing Americans. These companies don't care whose blood is spilled.
A movie to watch, and it wasn't really a highly regarded movie, but A League of Distinguished Gentlemen. It was Sean Connery's last major movie.
What's the name of it?
A League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Oh, I don't think I've seen that.
Okay, look it up. It was Sean Connery's last major movie. And it's a very interesting movie. You know, it's not the best movie, but there's a message there. Okay, and it was like, it takes place in pre-World War One, and basically it was a hidden defense contractor arming all the countries in the world, all the major powers in the world, to fight an ultimate war.
I'll have to try and see if I can rent that. That sounds interesting to me.
Yeah, and I tell you, that's the thing we got to look at, because the commodities that we're fighting over is irrelevant. You know, 200 years ago, it was sugar. 100 years ago, it was something else. Now it's oil. I could tell you right now, the next commodity could be water.
Could well be. It could well be.
Fresh drinking water.
Yeah, fresh water. It's at a premium in many places in the world right now.
And this is what we need to look out for. And this is why, you know, a lot of countries now need to start surrendering some of their autonomy to a certain degree, and not the fake autonomy, but start giving it out to the UN.
Yeah, yeah, well.
And not these little cliques of the Group of Seven and NAFTA and all that.
Well, we're in a tough time. You know, Kevin, I wonder, well, actually, I've answered my own question. Because of the media we have today, I was going to ask the question, has there been another time in history when the citizens of the world have known that there's such conflict and trouble in the world? And probably not. I don't know if there's ever been this much trouble. Well, the Second World War is one time, but and the First World War even. But the entire planet is facing some really tough times.
The fact of the matter is, you know, even though they were called world wars, they were still rather isolated incidents.
That's true. That's true. There were places on the planet that weren't much affected at all.
You know, my family migrated from a former British colony. It was relatively peaceful during the Second World War. Matter of fact, a lot of wealthy English people settled in the Caribbean to escape the war and escape the hardships that England faced during wartime.
Well, you know, Kevin, there's that old saying, since your family has that background, there's that old saying that the sun never sat on British soil, you know, at one time when they were at the peak of their colonialism.
Yeah.
I would ask the question, I've not checked this, but I think I would be reasonable in saying that the sun never sets on American military bases around the world at this time.
I think it's now starting to because, American bases aren't welcome as they once were, like in Japan and the Philippines.
Well, they're not, but let's stop and think. Okay, we've got Diego Garcia in the Indian Ocean. We still have military people in the Philippines. We have military people in Japan. We have them in Hawaii. Of course, we have them all across this country. We've got, Germany.
I just think, to a certain degree, it's not the same thing, because the only reason why we're in those countries is because of the military bases. You don't have the huge civilian population following it. It's just isolated. Unlike Britain, you know, like Britain, when they had a colony, they had a whole wave of civilians.
Oh, yes. They'd put a governor in.
Jamaica, where my family originally came from, and even now, even in independent Jamaica, you still have a population of British people still living there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I was trying to think of the tiny little island off of North Carolina, a couple thousand miles, and all of a sudden I can't even think.
Bermuda.
British. Yeah, there's a lot of British flags, and a lot of flags around the world that still has the British flag on it in one form or another.
Exactly. You know, the flag of Jamaica is adopted from the St. Andrew's cross, you know, and it was deliberately done so.
Yeah.
You know, the Scottish flag. But what I'm getting at is, you know, America, like Britain, needs to face that it's no longer an empire.
That's
and if
right.
We don't come to terms with it, we're going to be in for a hell of a lot of trouble. And America cannot be the sole proprietor of the corporation anymore. It's got to reduce its role, kind of, sort of. And here's an opportunity, if somebody can see it, to chairman of the board. Because one thing Americans are good at is trading with everybody.
Oh, yeah.
And like, you know, the great comedian Dick Gregory once said, you know, it's strange how, you know, we try to force our way of life on people with the barrel of a gun. If our way of life was all that great and good, people would be stealing it.
Sure. Well, that old term, gunboat diplomacy, we've about worn that out. It appears we're doing it again in the Persian Gulf today. Of course, we have been all along, though. Nothing new.
I think, you know, there's not too far from that region, you know, you have India, China, and Russia. And I think if we ever attack Iran, they're going to put their 2 cents in it. Because we're no longer the power of the world anymore.
Well, they would about have to put their 2 cents worth in it, and especially China. China's not gonna lay dormant and allow us to go ahead and take the resources of the world for our own. They've got too much of a need themselves, and they're not gonna allow that. They just simply won't.
No. And it's just a case of, you know, we need to start cooperating more with the UN. And I really hope, you know, someone like a Barack Obama wins, because I think he has that vision, you know, being of multi ethnicity, you know.
Yeah.
It's like he gets that, you know. I get it because I'm also of multi ethnicity, and in college I was an international relations major. That it's not about empire; it's about global community now.
Well, yeah, that's so true. This world is very small right now, and is shrinking every day. And we,
frankly, I tell you this: the third world is not going to take it anymore, because the third world now has options.
They do. They do. They no longer have to have their resources stolen from them. They can wield some clout now on the world market. Several of them with commodities China. That they have that we need.
With China and Russia, because if you notice, China is making more of a presence in sub-Saharan Africa.
They certainly are. And they're, you know, a friend of mine who passed away recently was the founder of a K Street firm, and that's what they do. They go around the world buying energy for companies and for countries, and that's what they were doing. They were buying oil for China.
Yeah.
Based in Washington, D.C., buying oil for China. So there's, you know, we haven't heard the last of that, nor will we ever hear the last of that.
But the thing is, we need to get off oil, and really, I think the hope for the world as far as energy is solar, because, hell, you can't monopolize the sun.
That's right. And we're making an attempt to monopolize the oil. It's not going to work. It's a futile attempt. We may be able to do it temporarily, but certainly not in the long run. And we're facing peak oil anyway. And you know, like you mentioned, what we spend on alternative energy research and so forth is a tiny, tiny, tiny little fraction of what we ought to be spending on research. I mean, this is America. This world. We can come up with a better way.
Yeah.
They'll have to. Or humanity won't survive.
It won't. And that's the, you know, but the cold hard fact of the matter is, you know, you have countries like Brazil, which, you know, not to knock Brazil, is a second-tier power.
Sure.
But yet Brazil is energy self-sufficient.
That's right. They are.
Okay. I think Australia is on that road to doing so. Sweden has done it. The technology is there. You know, go to any popular mechanics or popular science manual. The technology is there.
Well, there are just reasons not to exploit that type of technology right now, and it's called greed.
It goes back to the real culprit, this military-industrial complex, which wants constant warfare, because that's how they make their money.
Yep. As long as the dollar's driving everything, why we're at their mercy for a while. Hopefully, we'll wake up and understand that soon. I sure hope.
You know, there's big money in war, but the fact of the matter is, there's bigger money in consumer goods.
Oh, sure.
But I don't think it's not about the dollar. I think it's about the power acquired. Because, you know, Germany, post-World War II, Germany became a wealthier nation than it ever did under the 80 years of militarization.
Yeah, they did. They certainly did.
And because all those companies like Bosch and Krupp and I think Singer, which were German companies, or BASF,
BASF, Bayer.
Defense contractors.
Yeah. And, you know, I think everybody knows the story of, you know, the arms of Krupp. I mean, Krupp was a major influence in the world for arms for I don't know how long.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you're right. Hey, Kevin, I got to move along. Thanks so much for your call. Always good to hear your insight. You are a learned man, and you know of what you speak, and I'm always glad to talk to you.
Thank you. It's been a while.
Thanks for calling.
Okay, bye.
Bye now. We cannot be a colonialistic power anymore. We can't do it, and yet we are trying. And as I think about it, you know, I heard John McCain saying once again that, well, we may be in Iraq for 100 years, and even heard him go on and say now a 1,000 years, a 1,000,000 years, people don't care as long as there's no casualties. Well, how many American soldiers, Marines, Air Force, sailors, so do we have to have stationed around the world? Why is that? Why do we have to have this awesome budget? Like they just built a new submarine. I'm trying to think how much it cost. It was, I don't know, $8 billion, something like that. And who's it to fight against? Maybe I'm way off on that. Maybe it was $80 billion. I don't know. But it was some unrealistic amount of money, and we're already spending, I think, 52% of our disposable income here in this country on our military-industrial complex, on our Pentagon. How much more do we have to spend? And why, with the Cold War over with, do we have to put ourselves in a position of being a policeman in the world and have the military personnel stationed around the entire planet when this planet has shrunk? It's very small now. It's very small. I just don't get it. Well, I do get it. Just like Kevin said, it's about the military-industrial complex, and they're reaping the rewards from this every single day. What would happen if we took the billions and billions and billions of dollars we're spending in Iraq now and put it into research for alternative energy? Just imagine that. What would happen if we took the billions of dollars and divvied it up and put some of it in our infrastructure, some of it in medical research to cure cancer and some of the horrible diseases we have in this country that kills so many thousands of people, ruins so many families? What would happen if we took our money and did that, used it for useful purposes instead of spending it on bombs and airplanes that we never use and aircraft carriers that are unnecessary and new submarines that are unnecessary? What would happen if somebody all in Washington got the good sense to do that all of a sudden? Do they know some big, deep, dark secret that we don't know? Do they know that we're under such threat that we actually need this kind of military power that we have right now? I don't think so. I don't think they do. I just think they're all, as Kevin said, and I agree, they're beholden. They're beholden to these military suppliers. And our military power, the money that we spend on the military, I'll bet we could cut it in half tomorrow if we cut out everything that we just don't need. And yet we've got people coming home from Iraq and Afghanistan into these dirty, filthy barracks that should be condemned. And I know you've all seen the videos of them the past couple of days. Sewage water backed up into their sinks and their bathrooms. Not fit for human habitation. Coming home from war and walking into that, the military spending that we've got going on right now, and yet we have military personnel coming home to conditions like that. We could eliminate half of our... I'll tell you what, you give me the axe and let me at it. We'll cut that in half tomorrow. I think it could easily cut our military budget in half. Easily. I don't think it'd be any problem at all. What is it? We spend as much as the entire rest of the world added together. Is there any sense in that whatsoever? I don't think so. It makes no sense. There's no logic to that. There's nobody that could explain that away. Nobody. Bush, for all of his swagger, and Rumsfeld when he was in there, and Cheney for all of his swagger, they can't justify the money that we spend on our military. There's no justification for it. What do we got, these F-22 planes that we spent how many billion dollars on now we're not even using? Not even using them. Probably never use them. Well, anyway. Well, we're going to pause for news coming up at the top of the hour. There's an hour that flew by very, very fast. We'll be back after the news. We hope you'll join us. We hope you will join us. 866-546-5254. Be glad to hear from you as always. Here on the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network.
Listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. The GM layoffs of roughly 3,500 workers at four truck and SUV factories in the U.S. and Canada is the latest blow to auto workers as the U.S. economy slips into recession. Thanks to UAW contracts, the workers will get supplemental income that, together with unemployment benefits, will equal about 80% of their pay. One shift each is being eliminated at each of the four factories, and that will cut production of GM trucks and SUVs by about 50,000 this year. A court has ordered Goya Foods to negotiate with the union that won representation of workers back in 1998. Jesse Russell reports.
The battle between Unite and Goya Foods factory in Miami has waged since 1998, when the union, which has since merged with another union to form Unite here, won the right to represent workers. Over the next decade, Goya incurred multiple charges of unfair labor practices and even fired workers as it sought to break the union's attempt to represent the workers. In 1999, the company stopped negotiation with the union, and it wasn't until August of 2006, after a great deal of back and forth between the National Labor Relations Board and Goya, that the board finally ruled that the company had unlawfully withdrawn union recognition, and the board ordered Goya to resume collective bargaining. Goya appealed, and in a court decision on April 24th, it was recognized that the National Labor Relations Board, taking a decade to determine a ruling, is of considerable concern, but the court supported the board's order. In a statement, Unite Here President Bruce Rayner said 10 years is far too long to wait when bills need to be paid and meals need to be put on tables.
Part-time faculty trying to get their first union contract at Wayne State University in Detroit will pack the school's Board of Governors meeting today. Brian Pfeiffer is with the Union of Part-Time Faculty, AFT.
We have a lot of support in the campus community for us out there, and a lot of people are watching this. Thus far, we have had well over 1,600 letters sent to the president, President Reed, on campus. We have been sending letters to the Board of Governors on campus. Due to this pressure and due to the massive support that we have from labor and community, as well as the students, we feel that this is going to win us a decent contract.
Here is today's economic report. With requests for new home sales declining, the rest of the country has been seeing job slowdowns in the construction industry. New York City, however, continues to see a modest increase. New York State's Metropolitan Transportation Authority says $51 billion in projects are on the slate over the next 4 years in the city. And in March, 2,000 more construction workers were on the job than at the same time last year.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Hey, John, I just heard you got a new computer. Congratulations.
Thanks. It's the coolest thing.
What will you do with your old computer?
I don't know. I guess I'll just throw it away.
Well, my company just bought new computers, and we decided to donate the old PCs to a place that gives them to local schools. You could do something like that.
Seriously, who would want a 3-year-old computer?
Hey, it might be great for someone else. Computers can be refurbished and reused instead of ending up in the trash. By passing it on, you can help the community and the environment.
If you're replacing your company's IT equipment or you're finished using your personal computer, pass it on to a local organization that accepts computers. To learn more, log on to epa.gov/passiton. This message was brought to you by EPA, Dell, Intel, HP, NEC, Philips, and this radio station on behalf of EPA's Plug Into eCycling Partnership. EPA does not endorse any commercial services or products of these groups. For information on all partners, log on to epa.gov/plugin.
Throw the second switch! Throw the third switch! show is on in less than 1 minute.
Life! Life, you hear me? Give my creation life!
So this was fun.
You're going to like this.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Any questions before we proceed?
Get countdown. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You have entered the restricted broadcast area. You have entered the restricted broadcast area.
What your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show. Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Hey there. Welcome back to the Guy James Show. So glad to have all of you along with us this afternoon. 6 minutes after the hour. Yes, we're coming to you live from beautiful Southwest Florida today. And thank you for joining the program. Much to talk about this hour. Is the Reverend Wright thing over with? Do you think? God, I hope so. Oh, please let that be over with. I'm so tired of seeing that. So tired of seeing that. And I just wanted to remind everybody, this is a tempest in a teapot. It does not affect my opinion of Barack Obama whatsoever. Do I believe that maybe Barack Obama never heard or never knew that his pastor had said some of those things? No, I don't. I also understand politics being what it is. It wouldn't be a great thing for Barack Obama to stand up and say, oh, yes, I heard every one of those comments, and I didn't leave because this or that. The man was his spiritual advisor, and I see this for what it is, and it's much ado about nothing. It doesn't, in my opinion, it doesn't cloud his judgment. It's just a red herring, and that's all there is to it. That's how I feel about it. And I'm a Hillary Clinton supporter, so that should tell you something. In the interest of fairness, God, let's just throw this out. I want everybody to remember, particularly those on the right, who are trying to demonize Barack Obama now. Is there anybody that's more than more of an advocate for the Republicans, that's been more of a friend to the Republicans, who's been in there with Jerry Falwell leading the moral majority, that's been on TV preaching conservative politics for how long, and actually ran as president as a Republican, Mr. Pat Robertson, the Right Reverend Pat Robertson? Please don't tell me about the things that Reverend Wright said and use that to pound Barack Obama over the head and the Democrats, when you've got a Pat Robertson who's on TV every single... I mean, Wright's a small fish. How many of you even heard of Reverend Wright before all this happened? Yes, he's got a big church in Chicago, but how many of you even heard of him before this? Not very many. Not very many at all. Outside of the black community, not many people have heard of that man. And I would dare say that even within the black community, not a whole lot of people, not the greatest majority of people, had heard of him. Perhaps just the church-going people heard him. So, Pat Robertson's on TV every day. Every day. With his CBN, whatever, Christian Broadcasting Network. Every single day that man's on there preaching conservative politics. He does it every day. He's a friend of the Republicans. Has been. They want his blessing. And they're trying to make a big deal of what this Reverend Wright said. In one church in Chicago. Like he had a major influence as what's going on in the United States? I don't think so. But Pat Robertson on national TV, Pat Robertson, a man worth, what do they say, over $1 billion himself, he said a few things in his career that, just a little bit offensive. Does anybody remember Pat Robertson saying to Jerry Falwell, well, I totally concur. After Falwell said, I really believe that the pagans, the abortionists, and the feminists, and the gays, and the lesbians who are actively trying to make this alternative lifestyle, the ACLU, the People for the American Way, all of them who've tried to secularize America, I point the finger in this face and say, you helped this happen? After the 9/11 attacks? Do you remember Pat Robertson saying, well, I totally concur? And how about the Right Reverend Robertson saying, just like what Nazi Germany did to the Jews, so liberal America is now doing to the evangelical Christians. It's no different. It's the same thing. It's happening all over again. It's the Democratic Congress, the liberal-based media, and the homosexuals who want to destroy the Christians. The words of Pat Robertson. You got anything that the Reverend Wright has said more offensive than that? How about this, to quote the Reverend Robertson again? The feminist agenda is not about equal rights for women. It is about a socialistic, anti-family political movement that encourages women to leave their husbands, kill their children, practice witchcraft, enjoy capitalism, and become lesbians. End quote. Want to put that on the scales next to Reverend Wright? Do you? How about this? God considers this land to be His. You read the Bible and He says, this is my land. And for any prime minister of Israel who decides he's going to carve it up and give it away, God says, no, this is mine. He was dividing God's land, and I would say woe unto any prime minister of Israel who takes a similar course to appease the EU, the United Nations, or the United States of America. God says, this land belongs to me. You'd better leave it alone. That was Pat Robertson on why Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon suffered a massive stroke. And again, Pat Robertson. Maybe we need a very small nuke thrown off on Foggy Bottom to shake things up. Talking about the State Department. And one of my favorites of Reverend Pat Robertson, you know, I don't know about this doctrine of assassination, but if he thinks we're going to assassinate him, I think that we really ought to go ahead and do it. It's a whole lot cheaper than starting a war. We have the ability to take him out. I think the time has come that we exercise that ability. We don't need another $200 billion war, $200 billion, to get rid of one, you know, strong-arm dictator. It's a whole lot easier to have some of the covert operatives do the job and then get it over with. That's Pat Robertson calling for the assassination of a democratic elected president of Venezuela. Wright is a local Chicago pastor. Didn't have any kind of a big political following. But he's become a reason for the media to attack Barack Obama. We have Pat Robertson, who's had this TV show for, a couple of decades now, maybe longer. He ran as president as a Republican. And I would remind you that Pat Robertson's father was a Southern Democrat in Congress from 1933 to 1967. And he was a staunch supporter of Jim Crow. And he was an architect of the Southern strategy of using race to give control of the South to Republicans. Makes you wonder why Robertson's still on the air on the ABC Family Channel. The difference is, Reverend Pat Robertson is a Republican. they are using this to attack a Democrat. That is the difference. 866-546-5254. Any of you get your rebate checks yet? I see Walmart is going to do all of you a great big favor. Now I want you to think about this. I have so much love in my heart for almost choked on saying it, for Walmart Corporation. Yeah, I do. Love that company. Mm-hmm. They love you so much that if you need to cash that tax rebate check, you can take it into Walmart, and you know what? They're going to cash that check for you for free. That's right. There's no catch. No catch at all. They'll cash your check for free, and you can spend all of it, some of it, or none of it in its stores. Now, you just happen to be in Walmart, and so they think, well, since you're here. Now, there are other retailers that are doing things like this, that saying the shoppers are going to have to spend at least some of their rebate to be eligible for special offers or discounts in the store. And Walmart now, what they're doing is, they're saying if you want to cash the check at Walmart and go spend it at a competitor, that's fine with us. But Walmart is timing it so that they will have a bunch of price cuts during the distribution of these checks. So in the coming weeks, shoppers are going to see bigger discounts on basic items like cereal and lunch meats and juice and sports drinks and shampoo and so forth. Now, the other companies are joining in on this. Sears is giving a 10% bonus on a Sears or Kmart gift card. So if a check is worth $600, you'll get $660 gift card at their store. You can make 10% on that. If you happen to be planning on spending your money in those places, that would be a better deal. Don't go to Walmart. And by the way, I promised the good folks at Stanley Steamer Carpet Cleaning that I would give them some free advertising recently. Here at the studio, we had Stanley Steamer come in and clean the carpet in good faith. And notice that they, because of not moving a lamp, a hand-painted lamp, and rather just steaming around it, left a big, nasty-looking stain on the carpet from the dye from the lamp. Should have been moved. Always has been moved every time the carpet's been cleaned before. And so the folks at Stanley Steamer were called and came back to the studio to look at this carpet spot and said, you know, we're really sorry. We didn't do that. Well, they did do it. And they refused to do anything about it. So I promised them I'd give them some good advertising. So there you go. Don't patronize them either. Good old Stanley Steamer. At least these local people here. 866-546-5254 is the number. 866-546-5254. We were talking about the economy and these rebate checks. I read a sad story about people having to sell their family heirlooms during these difficult times, during this, what we was called today, what I heard on the Financial Channel, a near recession. A near recession. I love it, the way these guys keep trying to talk it up. Struggling with the mounting debt and rising prices, faced with the toughest economic times, certainly since the early 1990s, Americans are selling prized possessions online and at flea markets at an alarming rate. To meet higher gas, food, and prescription drug bills, they're selling off grandmother's dishes and their own belongings. Some of the household purging has been extremely painful. Families forced to part with heirlooms. And at Craigslist, which has become kind of an online flea market for the world, the number of for sale listing has gone up by 70% since last July. And in March, the number of listings more than doubled to almost 15 million from a year ago at this time. And Craigslist CEO Jeff Buckmaster acknowledged the increasing popularity of selling all sorts of items on the web, but he said the rate of growth is moving above the usual trend line. And he said he was amazed at the desperate tone in some of the ads. Like a Georgia teenager whose mother lost her job and whose ad pleaded, "Please buy anything you can to help out." Or like an Alabama mobile home resident, Ilona Bateman Lee, whose husband was disabled in 2006 by an electric shock on the job as a dump truck driver. Among her most painful sales, her grandmother's tea kettle, she sold it for $6 on eBay. Now, as we've all heard, for how long now? According to this compassionate conservative philosophy, private charity is supposed to step in and help these struggling Americans and when they really have a time of need like this. That's the whole plan. Let people keep their tax money, starve the government, subcontract welfare to faith-based initiatives to private charity, who'll be fat with donations from the Americans who have been allowed to keep more of their income because of tax breaks. But guess what? This trend's even hurting the secondhand stores. Donations to the Salvation Army were down 20% in January to March. George Hood, the charity's National Community Relations and Development Secretary, said that was probably partly because people were selling their belongings instead of bringing them into the Salvation Army. That's your trickle-down economics right there. Works so well, doesn't it? You're listening to the Guy James Show here in the Head On Radio Network. I was looking at some of these problems that we're having. Did any of you see these hearings taking place by the Democrats right now on the KBR? Kellogg Brown and Root, former Halliburton subsidiary. On Monday, two of the former employees, and I'm sure many of you saw this, of the embattled contracting firm KBR, testified, and Dick Durbin was talking to them, that they saw co-workers regularly steal from Iraq while working there. One employee, this lady named Linda Warren, said that some of her American colleagues during construction work in Iraq, palaces and municipal buildings, took wood carvings, tapestry, and crystal, and even melted down gold to make spurs for cowboy boots. And Warren told the Senate panel that her camp manager got busted by the military for looting, but she was given a promotion. Let's listen to Dick Durbin speaking to her very briefly.
Last question. Ms. Warren, the looting that you talked about, the
yes.
Theft of items in Iraq?
Inside the palaces.
Inside the
palaces. And I think the museums.
Were you aware of anyone who was arrested for that activity?
There was no one arrested. The camp manager was promoted.
And he was involved in that?
She was involved. She said she was busted by the military. They caught her, and the military actually asked my assistance in capturing her so they could arrest her.
But she was held accountable then?
No, she was not. She was not caught again, and she was given a promotion and sent to Kuwait.
So instead of paying a price, she was given a promotion?
Yes.
So thank you for your testimony.
That's the oversight that we have going on over military spending and private contractor spending in Iraq right now. That's this Republican administration who promises, you know, they're going to do well with our dollars. These are the conservatives, these compassionate conservatives, by the way, who take such good care of our money. Isn't that the line we've heard for so long? It's not they wanted to take good care of our money. They wanted to get their hands on our money. While it's true that for a lot of years, Democrats spent, in some cases, too much money on social programs. I will certainly admit that. On some social programs. Many of them have gone by the wayside. Many of them are underfunded now. Social programs in this country, are, for the most part in this country right now, are terribly underfunded. Because of the fact that these compassionate conservatives wanted to get a hold of the money themselves. They thought it would be a whole lot better for them to stuff their pockets with cash than hand out government cheese. And when you get a company like KBR, I'm sure I'm not telling you anything you don't know and probably not relating feelings that you don't have yourself. The contempt I have for companies like Bechtel and KBR and Halliburton, I couldn't properly describe in decent terms how I feel toward these companies. And also, I can't tell you how I feel about the oversight that these people are supposed to be doing and don't. Now, we've known about these terrible abuses and the raping and pillaging of American money by taxpayer money by KBR and Halliburton and Bechtel and others. We've known about this for a long time. This isn't something that came up last week. This isn't something that just came upon us in the last year. It's been known almost from day one when these parasites went in there. When they got these private contracts to take over for the Army, do their laundry, feed them their food, their water, their fuel, all of this. Just 2 weeks ago, KBR got another $150 billion 10-year contract to work with the U.S. Army in Iraq, and that's despite all of these scandals that have been publicized. In March, the Boston Globe reported that KBR had avoided paying more than $500 million in federal Medicare and Social Security taxes by hiring workers through shell companies. Oh, this is a good patriotic company, isn't it? Shell companies based in the Cayman Islands. These American workers, then, because of being hired by KBR, an American company, and doing work for Americans, were hired through shell companies in the Cayman Islands, and they cannot get unemployment assistance if they lose their jobs. And just last month, the Associated Press reported that story, and you all heard that story about KBR-run sites providing that contaminated water that made dozens and dozens of U.S. troops in Iraq get sick. And rather than take a look and investigate it properly, the Pentagon just told the soldiers, well, just drink the bottled water. You know, you don't worry about that, the contaminated water. Just drink the bottled water. Last I heard, KBR was charging something like $4 for the bottled water. And in December, the first of what is now at least a dozen former KBR employees came forth to say that she was raped by co-workers while she was stationed in Iraq, and the Pentagon wouldn't even investigate that issue. And it's been so long now that people have forgotten her name, but you remember, and who can forget her name? Bunnatine. They call her Bunny Greenhouse, who oversaw the contracts for the Army Corps of Engineers. She told the Senate in 2005, 3 years ago, she said, I can unequivocally state that the abuse related to contracts awarded to KBR represents the most blatant and improper contract abuse I have witnessed during the course of my professional career. This is a career Pentagon worker, and 2 months after she said that, she got stuck in a corner office with no windows and has never been heard from again. Demoted. Demoted. It's not bad enough that people in this administration and the friends of this administration, and I'm not saying it's never happened in a Democratic administration because I'm sure it has, but it's out of control right now. We know it's out of control. We've seen one example of it after another after another. The press, to give them some credit, has at least reported on much of this. And they've turned around this administration and just give the American public the finger and said, hey, Dick Cheney, you know, Dick Cheney, he was affiliated with Halliburton and these folks. We're not going to investigate them. We're not going to make them use proper business ethics when they deal with the American government. They're friends of Dick Cheney. They're friends of all of us. And it's obscene enough that we're in an illegal, immoral war. It's even more obscene that these people are stuffing their pockets with cash through the deaths of over 4,000 of our military personnel right now. That is obscene. That is a crime against humanity. Very, very ugly situation. 866-546-5254.
You have stuck with the surge and stuck with your position on the surge in Iraq from the beginning. And as you probably know, one of the most viewed videos now on YouTube is the video of you saying, interjecting when someone talks about being in Iraq for 50 years, and you say, could be 100 years. Explain that.
Could be 1,000. Could be 1,000 years or 1,000,000 years.
More than 35 million Americans are at risk of hunger. One in every four is a child, a true epidemic. Saturday, May 10th, the National Association of Letter Carriers will conduct its annual Stamp Out Hunger food drive, teaming up with Campbell Soup Company, the U.S. Postal Service, America's Second Harvest, the nation's food bank network, ValPak, the AFL-CIO, and local United Ways. William Young, National Association of Letter Carriers.
The nation's 230,000 city letter carriers will collect donations from homes across the country and deliver them to food banks and other hunger relief organizations in more than 10,000 communities. To help, simply place a bag of non-perishable food items, such as soup, canned meats and fish, pasta or cereal, next to your mailbox before your mail delivery. Your letter carrier will do the rest.
Stamp Out Hunger, Saturday, May 10th. Together, we can make a difference. A public service message from the National Association of Letter Carriers, Campbell's, and this station.
Hey, don't forget to do that. Coming up May 10th, I guess it is, yes. Thanks for being with us here this afternoon on the Guy James Show. I do want to remind you, I've been remiss in not reminding you all day long today, that Glenn Greenwald, one of my very favorite writers with Salon Magazine, is going to be with us tomorrow in the first hour of the program to discuss his latest Salon piece, and you might want to go read that ahead of time at salonmagazine.com, salon.com. Glenn, one of the very finest political writers in America today, absolutely, positively one of the finest, and actually probably my favorite. And we'll have Glenn on tomorrow. We've had him on a couple of times before. I believe we introduced first met Glenn at the Take Back America conference three, 4 years ago, somewhere back in then. But a delightful guy, a great writer, and he's got one hell of a piece on Salon Magazine about this Pentagon scandal and the press. It's mostly about the press, how they have just thrown away their ethics. He talks about Brian Williams of NBC, MSNBC, how they've just totally abrogated their responsibilities in this whole Pentagon propaganda story mess. And if you want to read a great article, please do. I know many of you read the big article in the New York Times about it. Glenn's is even better because Glenn doesn't concentrate on the military. That end of it was bad enough. But Glenn concentrates on the press, the media, not doing their job, and what a disgraceful display that they've given us. They still haven't commented on it. None of the networks have commented on it except PBS, and there's a virtual news blackout on that whole story. I think it's unconscionable, absolutely unconscionable, and anyway, Glenn Greenwald's going to be with us tomorrow, and I look forward to that. I always enjoy talking to him. He's a very, very fine writer. We were talking about abuses going on in Iraq, and I found this one to be particularly interesting. One of the managers, they gave some more explosive testimony from these whistleblowers. A contractor died when DynCorp manager used an employee's armored car to transport prostitutes, according to Barry Halley, a Worldwide Network Services employee working under DynCorp subcontract. DynCorp site manager was involved in bringing prostitutes into hotels operated by DynCorp. A co-worker unrelated to the ring was killed when he was traveling in an unsecure car and shot performing a high-risk mission. I believe that my co-worker could have survived if he'd been riding in an armored car. At the time, the armored car that he would otherwise have been riding in was being used by the contractor's manager to transport prostitutes from Kuwait to Baghdad. Well, isn't that just ducky? And other things that came out at the hearing, KBR contractors used to destroy countless quantities of still usable equipment that was difficult to transport in, and they burned them in these massive burn pits that were burning 24 hours a day. And another really nice story there, KBR's ICE foreman, yes, they have an ICE foreman in charge of the ice making, was cheating the troops out of ICE. At the same time, he was trading the ICE for DVDs, CDs, food, and other items at the Iraqi shops across the street. And when KBR whistleblower Frank Cassidy reported weapons looting, he was placed in a jail tent by KBR security. Why? Oh, why would the United States government continue to do business with this vile company? Why, oh, why? Makes you wonder. The story always is there are aren't enough companies big enough or with enough expertise to do these jobs. You know, many times these companies like KBR and Halliburton, they'll get a big government contract for something that they've never done before. Something they've never done before. They'll be getting into a whole new area, and they'll get the government contract, and you know why. Because they've got friends in the government. They've got friends in the administration. Has nothing to do with their expertise. You know, we looked at the situation down at, in New Orleans and on the Gulf Coast with Katrina. We had friends of the administration come in and just rape that area. One dump truck company I can think of, the cruise line company, just come in and rob these people. Didn't provide anything to them, or provided a service at many times what a local company could have done it for. And yet, the money keeps flowing. The trailer companies that provided those trailers. Look at the money they made off of that thing. How much time could we actually spend on this program and any other program talking about the corruption, the filth and corruption within this Bush administration? We mentioned yesterday with Professor Lichtman that they may well go down in history as the worst administration ever, and I think history will most certainly do that to them. History will not be kind to George W. Bush. History will not show that this Iraq war was a good thing. History will show it for a monumental catastrophe, the monumental catastrophe that it has been, both for the Iraqi people and for us and our heirs to come, because they're going to inherit something wonderful from us. They're going to inherit the bill for this Iraq war. They're going to inherit the bill for the huge national debt that we've accumulated during the Bush administration. We're running at record deficits. And with all this in mind, people are still considering electing another Republican president. Can that be? Really, can it?
Maybe 100. That'd be fine with me.
Could be 1,000. Could be 1,000 years or 1,000,000 years.
Really? People would consider electing another Republican president? Electing another guy who's willing to keep our troops in a part of the world that we don't belong in from 50 years, 100 years, 1,000 years, 1,000,000 years? That's what he said. Take him at his word. He claims that those things are taken out of context. They are not. He has said that as long as Americans are not taking casualties, that it's fine with Americans to leave people there for 50 years, 100 years, 1,000 years, or 1,000,000 years. Those are the words of John McCain. Bush 3. Speaking of despicable comments, how many of you saw the wonderful, esteemed Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia on 60 Minutes Sunday night? I know it's the middle of the week by now, and I didn't get around to talking about this, but I watched that entire interview because I had never seen a big, long interview with Antonin Scalia. But I have to tell you, I was fascinated by that. Absolutely fascinated. And there was one part of it in particular that I looked at him and thought, oh my God, this man is at the top of jurisprudence in the United States. This man is supposed to be one of the wisest people in the country. This man is supposed to know the law. This man is supposed to be fair and just. He's supposed to know the Constitution. He should know the obligations of America to international treaties where the law is concerned. And he said that torture does not violate the Eighth Amendment's ban on cruel and unusual punishment. and in his words, because torture is not about punishment. He said, and let me quote him, he said, when he's hurting you, he meaning the torturer, in order to get information from you, you wouldn't say he's punishing you, he said. What's he punishing you for? And these people made fun of Bill Clinton for saying it depends on what the meaning of is. He's excused torture in the past and actually said, and let me quote him, that it would be absurd to say that you can't stick something under the fingernails or smack somebody in the face. He said that. But he says when somebody's torturing you, they aren't punishing you for anything. What's he punishing you for? I found that comment disgusting. And I also found it disgusting that, really, in a way, that they put that whole interview on there. Because they tried to portray him in this wonderful light of being this oh-so-sociable, this oh-so-wonderful man that, although he has conflicting views with the rest of his Supreme Court justices, they all love him. He also let us know that he's always right. Well, I don't think so, and I think if ever a man were on the Supreme Court and they talked about his wonderful his background for being on the Supreme Court, I wonder what they are. I don't know. We just all had better hope the Supreme Court justices stay put until after the 20th of next year. If not, we're going to be in for one hell of a ride in this country. There isn't any doubt about it. All we need is one more Antonin Scalia on there, and that'll tilt it in their favor for a long time to come. Although he's, I think I figured up he's like 72 now, but he's got no intent upon retiring. None at all. Well, 866-546-5254. Join us if you like. We'd love to hear from you. I see the White House is playing this game again about making everybody have executive privilege. They're trying to subpoena Addington, and Dick Cheney is saying that Congress lacks any authority to examine his behavior on the job. Cheney's counsel is claiming an exception. It's because of a request from congressional Democrats that David Addington, the vice president's chief of staff, testify about his involvement in the approval of interrogation tactics used at Guantanamo Bay. And Cheney's lawyers coming back and saying, well, that's not within the Congressional Committee's power of inquiry. Congress lacks the constitutional power to regulate by law what a vice president communicates in the performance of the vice president's official duties, or what a vice president recommends that a president communicate. Well, they'll get away with it. There isn't any question. John Conyers has threatened subpoenas, and Addington and the rest. They'll ignore those as well. You know they will. This is why when all of this started out, early on when the Democrats had a chance, that they blinked at every opportunity and everything that came up. They said, well, we've got to pick our fights. We've got to wait until the proper time. This, blah, 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 blah. And now, after how many episodes of illegalities that have taken place within the executive branch, the subpoenas that they put out for Harriet Myers and all these other people, and they've just told the Congress, the Senate and the House, hey, stick it, shove it. We don't care what you think. They let them get away with this. They hid under their desk every time. So okay, we don't hurt us. We won't say anything else, Mr. President, Mr. Vice President. Just don't say anything bad about us. Cheney and Bush have shoved it back in the face of the Democrats on every single issue. Every issue. And now it's just automatic. When they say that we're going to do this, we're going to do that to you. I can see them laughing now down at the White House. Another subpoena. Isn't that rich? Isn't that rich? Those weenie devils. Who does Conyers think he is? Who does Harry Reid think he is? Oh, my God. They're going to do that again. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the contempt by now that the people in the old executive office building in the White House and the West Wing have for the Democrats in Congress because they haven't laid a glove on them? They haven't laid a glove on them yet. And they're not going to. Absolutely not going to lay a glove on him. Never will happen. I see one of my favorite human beings, the infamous drug junkie, Rush Limbaugh. He's calling like a timeout in his Operation Chaos. He's taking an operational pause, he calls it. He tells you all you need to know about how bad the race has gotten for Obama. It really does. It tells you how bad it's gotten for Obama because Rush has called for this operational pause, what he called in his Operation Chaos. And he's going to determine whether or not his listeners ought to get behind Barack Obama now. Now, I think this is despicable what this guy's doing, trying to talk Republicans into going out and register as Democrats in order to sway the primary one way or another. I don't think it's been effective, but it's despicable to me that he's even tried to do it, that he's suggested to do it. And let me quote him. He says, "Ladies and gentlemen, I'm calling an operational pause in Operation Chaos. We have a week to figure out now what's best to do. If your state still allows voter registration, keep that up. Continue to register as a Democrat in upcoming Operation Chaos primaries. I think it's too late in Indiana and North Carolina. Oregon, last day is today. But there are other states coming down the pike in Puerto Rico, but I'm calling an operational pause, and I'll tell you why," says Limbaugh. "My first gut reaction, my instinct in listening to the audio soundbites of Obama today throwing Jeremiah Wright off the planet. He didn't throw him under the bus. He put him in the space shuttle and sent him to the space station so that he can pal around with the Russians that are up there. Then I watched..." Was that supposed to be funny, Rush? "And then I watched, during the bottom of the hour break here, I decided to watch the drive-by media coverage of this. Because it became obvious to me, see, I read the stitches on the fastball, I can read between the lines, and I know that most of the drive-bys are in the tank for Obama." Oh, I see. So the drug junkie now thinks everybody's for Obama. He goes on to say, "My gut reaction after the audio soundbites was to issue new orders," and orders is the right word, "to his rush bots, the people, the stupid and the stubborn that listen to his program each day, to try to get them to now vote for whoever he decides he wants them to vote for. But he's gonna let them know here in the next few days which way they should go." Nice job, Rushy boy. Let's head on over to the phone. We got time for a call yet. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hi, Guy. I just tuned in a little while ago. We have a very interesting program, but could I change the subject a little bit?
Yeah.
You made a comment a while back. Actually, it was a couple of days ago, and I don't really get too much of a chance to listen to your program live, but I downloaded the MP3 file from the White Rose Society. And your comment... Wow, it's absolutely electrifying because I don't really hear so many people saying that. Namely, that the oil industry should be nationalized.
Yes.
Well, I'll tell you. obviously, I don't think you'd have to go quite that far. I think what you'd have to do is probably nationalize one of them. And I would take eggs on over the coals. And that would probably send a hell of a message to the rest of them. I think most of them would probably shift up after that.
Now, I think you're right. I think that would work.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, it's so rare that you hear that coming out of anybody, this notion of nationalizing anything.
Well, they've reduced it down to that, I think. It's something I never would have considered before, but now that they've put us behind the eight ball like this, I think we've got to think of what's best for the country.
No, I agree totally. I mean, stop and think of the profit. In fact, the last time I heard somebody talk about that, I don't even know who the hell it was. But there was
maybe
somebody.
Harry Truman.
I remember 1948. It was a pretty good year for me, I guess. But, my whole comment, my point is the reference to it, whenever you hear it, which is sparsely and frequently, is that there should be some sort of, not specifically nationalizing, that may be going too far for a lot of people, but possibly some kind of a windfall profits tax.
Absolutely.
All right?
Absolutely.
Now, I mean, in Europe, they're paying $5 a gallon. And it's a lot of money. We're not paying $5 a gallon here. Of course, the taxes in Europe are very, very high, and they take that tax money. They do a few things where they support their railroads, their infrastructure, whatever. Here, I mean, if God forbid, the price of gasoline should go up, say, $5 a gallon in the next couple of years, anybody who thinks about it knows damn well that most of that $5 is not going to go to anything except for the pockets of Exxon and Chevron and the rest of them.
Sure. You're absolutely right. I mean, even taxes. It's 18.4 cents a gallon, government taxes, so it won't help our infrastructure anymore if it goes up to $5 a gallon.
Yeah, but you know, I can almost personalize this for quite a few Americans, even more so than just the sting of the actual the amount they're paying at the pump. In terms of a windfall. Now, there are 15 states in this country whose civil service workers do not contribute to Social Security. They're the non-Social Security states. Mm. I don't know all of them, but there's Massachusetts is one, Ohio's another, Rhode Island, Texas, California. There's quite a few of them.
Which workers don't?
These are the civil service workers.
Oh, okay, yes.
State workers, most public school teachers, fire, and so forth. They don't contribute, and most of these states have a pretty good pension scheme. However, what happens to a person who not only qualifies for pension in these states? Now, I say qualifies. I'm not talking about qualifying to the max. I don't mean giving the maximum, because these are people who have worked other jobs and not even necessarily simultaneous with their state jobs or town jobs or whatever. I'm not talking about people who perhaps entered the state workforce late in life. They had worked a few years on Social Security. Well, up until 1983, those people who qualified for Social Security and then later in time qualified for a state pension, and they never got the full state pension because they didn't have enough years to work long enough, they would at least get full benefit of whatever their Social Security amounted to at that time.
Mm.
Now, in 1983, Ronald Reagan, do you remember Ronald Reagan?
I do, I'm afraid.
Ronald Reagan and the Republicans decided that, oh my God, these people are getting all this largesse. So they created a thing called the WEP, Windfall Elimination Provision. What it amounts to is the following. If you qualify for Social Security, however minimal, and you also qualify for a state pension somewhere or a city pension, a civil service pension within these 15 states, you get a reduction in the amount of Social Security that you get.
Mm.
Now,
I want to let you know I got about 1 minute left.
Oh, I'm sorry, guys. Okay, let's see if I can make it real fast. The average reduction is somewhere between 40 and 50%. Now, it's called a windfall elimination provision. In other words, you're getting this tremendous windfall, but hey, you're not going to get the whole thing because it is a windfall. Now, what about Exxon?
Oh, that's different.
Yeah, that's different. That's my analogy.
that's completely different.
it drives me up a wall.
Absolutely. There are places in the world where corporations get windfall profit tax on them by 50%. That's what we ought to do here when it reaches a certain level. Absolutely, I agree. Hey, I've got to run. We're down to the clock here at the last minute, and I got to say goodbye. Please call me again, and we'll discuss this some more.
Okay, guys. Thank you very much.
Thanks so much.
Bye-bye.
Yes, we are down to the end of the program again today. Where does the time go? I want to thank you for joining us. Don't forget Glenn Greenwald going to be with us tomorrow from Salon Magazine. Get there ahead of the show and read his article on this obscenity by the press and the Pentagon, their collusion to keep that whole story quiet. Thanks to everybody for listening today. Don't forget, we are a listener-supported program, theguyjamesshow.com. You can help out there. Don't forget, you've heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth. Thanks to the Head On Radio Network and Billy Shears Music Director. See you tomorrow, gang.
Now, from Washington, the Inside Scoop, all the news the government does not want you to hear. Now, here's your host on the Inside Scoop, Mark Levine.
Good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. Well, Barack Obama's pastor threw the senator and presidential candidate under the bus at the press club just 2 days ago, and yesterday Barack Obama returned the favor, threw his pastor under the bus. And many of you will ask, why am I even commenting on this? I've talked in the past about other pastors, such as Pastor John Hagee, Pastor Pat Robertson, Jerry Falwell, all of McCain's pastors, and I will continue to talk about them because they don't have this kind of complex relationship that Jeremiah Wright and Barack Obama has. This is a case where John McCain sought out the endorsement of John Hagee, a person who's called the Catholic Church a great whore and has said all kinds of other awful things. But I do think it is important for you, for me, for Americans to analyze this. Not because I think that in any way we can attribute this to Obama. I don't think that's fair. Obama couldn't have been more clear, and I'm going to be playing for you some of the clips